Would you receive from New York City this great man of God, Prophet Pastor Andre Cook? Come on, everybody. Give it up for the man of God. Give it up for the man. Come on, give it up for the man.
Bless us, man. Luke 19, just for a few moments. Verse 1 through 6 reads, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Post the reading of our God's word. It is blessed. You may be seated. I want to leave you with the thought in an attempt to encourage you that it's all right to be a better you in 2001. Touch your neighbor and say, if it's not on your mind, then it's not in your future. That's what I want to talk about. I came to Raleigh to tell you that if it's not on your mind, then it's not in this future. It's not in this future. It has been said, and I concur, that a mind is a terrible thing to waste. But beyond the secular implications and the associations with education and acquiring higher learning, the mind is a gift of God. And it is through that mind, or our ability of perception, that God would create a portrait of expectancy. God will show you what he expects for you to achieve and to become. He draws on the canvas of your mind. Does not the scripture says, without a vision, without perception or vision, the people perish. God wants us to live and to live abundantly. And so he creates portraits on the canvas of our mind to give each of us something to obtain or ascribe to. It has been said that the Psalms is recorded, delight yourselves in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I've done some research and I've kind of somewhat concluded that the writer is not just speaking of what I would like to have, but in my fellowship, my delight in God, God has taken the opportunity of the audience to create a portrait in my mind of what he wants or what his desire for me is. So out of his presence comes a portrait of a better me. A me that I do not know even exists, but it is only captured by the time I spend with him. I have no idea what I can become until I have had time with him. You have no idea all that you are presently, but concealed, because you haven't had enough time to hear about it. See, words are an energizing motivation. Death and life lies in the power of the tongue. How many of you have had someone say something to you and it literally robs you of the momentum or the energy of pursuit. You had set out to accomplish something or to become something, but someone said, baby, I don't think it's time for that, or you can't afford that. But everything prior to the conversation was in forward mobility of achievement. You had set out to accomplish, but one conversation had stagnated, thereby canceling your window of opportunity of obtaining what God has already said was yours. Did not the psalmist say, this is the day that the Lord hath made? We will rejoice and be glad in it. And notice how we leave the past into the present. This is present tense, the day that the Lord hath, past tense, made. We will rejoice today in a day that he's already made. Then you will hear the psalmist say, send now, Lord, prosperity. What was the psalmist saying? This is the day for prosperity that the Lord has previously made, in a day in which I was not formed, but already he set it aside for me. So this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice today in what? The prosperity that I now envision. You must understand, you cannot possess prosperity until you get a glimpse that it belongs to you, or that it is for you. Now, the illustration of the text correlates the topic and correlates the theme. Now, what I want to point to you is that you are already prosperous, but you've got to move beyond the perception of humanity and accept the will of divinity. You must understand that men will always look at you less than God has already expected you to become. See, here is a man by the name of Zacchaeus who is considered rejected and beneath his community because of his secular achievement. The Bible says that he is a Roman tax collector, and because of the political unrest between Israel and between Rome, he finds himself with a window of opportunity to be employed or unemployed. So because of his skills as an accountant, he accepts the Romans' opportunity of promotion, nothing less than Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did in a land of bondage, making the best in bad times, expecting the good out of the bad. See, I'm trying to tell you, many of you already are in a position of increase, but you are not taking advantage of the window of opportunity because of what folk are saying. See, he is a Roman tax collector. The Bible says not only is he employed, but the Bible says he's rich and he's the best at his game because he's the chief among the publicans. Now, I would submit that it has been said, and I do believe that after his conversion, it's a reference to the fact that he had become abusive in the system, because in collecting taxes, he did what? He placed an additional taxation for himself that did what? Increased him immediately. What it says to me is that this is a man that always knew he had the potential to be on the top. But to be on the top, he realized, no matter the situation, I've got to be the best at my game. See, I don't care what folks say about me, it's not going to stop me from being the best that I am. Because in being the best that I am, I derive the increase of his expectancy. See, God is going to pay me for the suffering for being the best while others oppose me. I can't stop you from disliking me, but I would not let your dislike stop me. You can talk about me, but it's all right. I'd rather be like Zacchaeus, rich and criticized, than to be broke and criticized. I'd rather have you talking about me while I'm on my way to the bank, while you're looking for a handout. Touch your neighbor and say, it's all right to be a better you this year. No matter what, folk, come on, I got 10 minutes. Folk have to understand this. People are deliberately trying to sidetrack you, because even though you don't realize it, you're wearing an air of prosperity. You just have to catch up to it. Are you with me? Because this is the day that the Lord, this is why you like what you can't afford, they say. But see, God has been known to give the best for less or at no cost. Are you with me? If I just can get the the adage. Let me close. The text reveals that here is a man whose only problem is that he is the best at his game, while others are who are part of his nationality and his community are saying, we don't like you because you took the job and you are collecting taxes from us. Look at your neighbor and say, build a bridge and get over it. It doesn't make a difference. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you don't like about me. I'm going to work this until it works me. Y'all ain't said nothing. I'm going to stay with this. Amen. You don't have to like the way I preach. I'm going to preach like this. Touch your neighbor, say smile. Give your face a break. You need to understand here, beloveds. And I'm going on to close. Zacchaeus is ridiculed, but Zacchaeus, amen, in being ridiculed, hears that there is a gathering at the gates of Jericho. The gathering is in response to a crowd that has approached. The crowd approaches, giving notice to all in Jericho that Jesus, this miracle worker, is coming. So it says that Zacchaeus sought as others to see who Jesus was. Look at your neighbor and say, rich, but he could not. But now, see, it wasn't his money that hindered an opportunity. The Bible said he could not for two reasons. The first being the multitude. Touch your neighbor and say, that's people. Mm-hmm. See, let me tell you something. Whenever you're ready for prosperity, you've got to contend with the follower. That's the crowd that comes to the point of your expectancy to be realized. See, wherever Jesus was, there was a crowd that had followed him from where he was coming from. So you've got to understand, whatever Jesus has set in motion, unfortunately, beloveds, there are some folk that's keeping up with you. Because, see, they said you wouldn't. But, see, they see that somehow, even though they said it, you're wearing the possibility. Look at your neighbor and say, this year I'm living the impossible. I'm living in the realms of my impossibilities. I'm achieving the... I want to preach. I don't know. I just feel like I should here. You need to understand that this is the year that God is going to let you live your impossibilities, because this is the day that... the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. Touch your neighbor and say, I feel a strong current here. Yeah. I feel and everything is getting ready to be all right current. I feel like I'm moving ahead now. I feel like things are changing for me. I just double dare somebody that's standing just to turn around one time and say, it's turning for me. I don't know about you. It's turning for me tonight. Glory. Look now, this crowd, Bishop, this crowd follows Jesus, and then in the crowd, brother, at the gate, there's a crowd that assembles, mingling with the crowd of the past. See, let me tell you something. Even in your presence, you're making new enemies that don't even know you in your past. But what they all see is your future. You got to understand, you got some folk in your past that don't like you, all because even though you were equally just as broke, they saw an attitude of prosperity. They saw that no matter what, you would rather put and lay away a good piece instead of settling for the cheap piece. And so they would say to you, you know, you think you're better than I am, but you ought to say, no, it's not that I'm better, he's better. Yeah, and because he's better, I can have better. So why should I settle for anything less than what he is a pro? There's a crowd from your past that has connected to the potential Jesus, the opportunity of your anointed increase. Don't fool yourself. There's some folk right now want to keep up with you because they hear what you're doing. They hear that you're over here. But see, the reason you came over here is because you had to finalize your final level of motivation and energy to obtain it. See, you had to separate from a crowd and attach to a crowd that would energize where you're all going. Are you with me? So you got to leave folk that's not going where you're going and get with the people that's going where you're going. And if you can't find them, then you just go by yourself. Because when you touch two folk and say, get up off him, let him preach. Touch another and say, let him preach. Look here now, Bishop. Look what happens, Bishop. Look what happens. Would y'all please have your seat? No wonder you preach the way you preach. This crowd will make you preach. They'll make you hurt yourself. But look, there's a crowd, son, that meets them. And the Bible says there's a crowd, the picture's drawn, that has assembled at the gate. But now it says he could not see who Jesus was, who was in Jericho, because of the crowd, the multitude, the press. I wonder who's keeping you from the source of your connection for what has already been. What has already been destined. Look at your neighbor and say, if you're not my destiny partner, here's your pink slip. I got to cut you off. I need to fire you because you're robbing me of what I need to get ahead. But who, some of y'all will go home tonight and hand out a few pink slips. Stop by the nearest convenience store. Go get you some pink construction paper. Don't say nothing. Just write their names on it. And tomorrow, just hand it out. The color is indicative of the relationship broken. We don't have to discuss it. I'm cutting you off. I'm letting you go because I made up my mind. I'm going to do better by myself. I'm not doing bad all by myself. I was doing better until I connected with you, and I found out now that you're a satanic plant to rob me of my enemy. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not talking to you, but I need to rehearse. It's over, 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 it's over. Tell him it's over, it's over. No longer, don't try to talk me out of it. No more phone calls, no more late dinners, no more riding to church in the same car to vex my spirit. It's over. I got a vision that what's coming is better than what. Oh. Ooh. Look at your neighbor and say, did you feel my success? I felt an anointing dropping here for success. I felt an anointing dropping here for increase. Somebody say, yeah! Look at your neighbor and say, ignore the crowd and focus on your potential. He separated. Bishop, he left those folk, went ahead, and look where he came to. Somebody said the sycamore tree. Look at your neighbor and say, that's where I'm at. I'm sick of this and sick of that. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of being on the bottom while others are on the top. I'm sick of drug dealers driving the Lexus and I'm tithing. I'm sick of it. All my praying, all my fasting, all my laying out before God, all my tithing. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a good place to be. Because when you get sick of it, you can get healed from it. Bishop, look what happens, and I promise I'm closing. Bishop, he gets there. He's by himself. And brother, look what happens. There's a case of self-elevation. He climbs the sycamore tree. Now, the significance of the sycamore tree is found in the Kings. The purpose of the sycamore tree was that they used it or its wood to make coffins. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't ready for your expectancies until you have allowed the past to die. And you got to use the past that has died as the elevation to your expectancy. Look at your neighbor and say, don't just kill it, bury it. Too many of you got corpses laying in the road. Bury it, baby. Bury that telephone number. Bury that relationship. Look at your neighbor and say, put it in the ground. Look at your neighbor and say, stop dancing with the corpses. Bury the corpses. God put him in his sights. He shot him down on your behalf. He told you no weapon formed against you would prosper. You took your mouth on it, God put his hand on it, brought it to nothing, and now you're still dancing around it. You can kick a dead dog and it'll move. See, if you don't bury it, it'll be before you and you'll give it movement. God brought you out of a place, then stay out of there. Decaying flesh will contaminate you. If God is taking his hands off of a ministry, stay out of it. Stay out of it. If God's hand is off of it, you can't help it. But you can become contaminated by it. Listen to this, my brother, and this is a good word for you. You hear me, son? This is a good word for you. You cannot worry about the past. God has cleaned up your record. Your record is clean. Your record is clean. They won't give you the job of your desire, then God said, I'll give you two businesses of your own. You don't have to accept their words. Accept my prosperity. Glory. Bishop, this is it, I promise. This is it, Pastor Spence. Pastor Spence, Bishop, I'm close. Listen, listen, listen. This is it. Listen. Hi, my soul. Listen. Got to the sycamore tree. It had to be a lonely place. But he climbed it, and it became his observational post of his expectancy. But before he saw what he was expecting, he heard of his introduction by the approaching of the crowd. There is a combination of the crowd of your past and the crowds of your presence. You've got opposing forces who have come together to keep you from achieving what you're expecting. But don't be dismayed. See, Jesus was approaching. But the only way Zacchaeus knew that he was approaching, it wasn't because he saw him. It was because he heard the crowd. Let me tell you something. Some of you have had some phone calls lately. The crowd from the past has returned. But this time, don't you be dismayed. They're advertising that your approach is near. That what you are waiting for is now waiting for you. Look at your neighbor and say, that's why they're talking about me. Because I'm, y'all ain't said nothing. I'm closer today than I've ever been. Y'all ain't said nothing to everything he said I'm supposed to have. Look at your neighbor and say, I hear them whispering. I hear them talking. I'm trying to understand. I don't have everything that they got, but they're complaining and wasting their time talking about me. But look at your neighbor and say, that's the crowd you need to have. Touch your neighbor and say, I need that crowd. A little more monitor. Touch your neighbor and say, I need that crowd. I need the crowd. Touch your neighbor and say, I need the crowd. I need every lying word. I need every criticism, and I need all of their opposition. I need them assembled in the back of the church when I walk through the doors, because without them gathering against me, I don't know that I'm close to achieving all that I have and all that I will have. Turn around and tell three folks, say, neighbor, please, whatever you do, don't allow the voices of the crowd to deter your expectation. Because what you were expecting is now on its way. I heard the word say that when Jesus arrived at his sycamore tree, it was there that Jesus looked up. And I heard when Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. Turn around and say, neighbor, when was the last time that God had to call you down to reveal that you're up? I'm trying to tell you, he'll conceal you in a place of expectancy. My place of expectancy is a high place, and that's why folk are treating me the way they're treating me, is because my expectancies is evident by my conversation, is evident by my attitude, is evident by what I drive. Did you hear what I said? See, when folks see what you got, folk go to judge him.
what you can become. And I'm trying to tell you, when folk hear that the river has got a building without a building fund, you can expect pastors to become uneasy, because your success is indicative of what God can do if a people can simply be sincere and righteous before God. I heard the Bible said that Jesus called him down and said, today I must abide in your house. Look at your neighbor, says, not just for you, but this is a house blessing. I'm trying to tell you, it's for your children and your children's children. It's for your children's children's children. In other words, this is generational. I'm trying to tell you that God is about them to break the curse by increasing you, your family's deliverance, your family's deliverance. It's tied up in your ability to come down and get it. Look at your neighbor, say, excuse me, I just need to let somebody know it's my time. Look at your neighbor, say, it's not my fault, it's just my season. It's my turn to be blessed. It's my turn for the house. My turn for the healing. My turn for the millions. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Look at your neighbor, say, I receive it like Zacchaeus. I receive it with rejoicing. So excuse me, I need your space, cause I got to bless his name, cause I can't wait till the battle's over. I got him. I got him. I got him.